Yeah. Tell the story.
You're clapping off mic again.
Yes, I'm clapping off mic.
You're referencing a previous episode.
Episode 54. Mighty Morphin Improv Rangers. Check it out on noisepicnic.com.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I listened to the local music scene episode, but I don't think I listened to the interview. I think I just listened to the bat part because I was fascinated by it. I wanted to see how that went down.
Do you have eyes?
Robert De Niro.
Did you ever go listen to the License to Kill episode?
I did go to listen to that. I've listened to, yeah.
I'm sorry,
the Power Rangers?
The Power Rangers.
I did listen to that as well. And I heard you talk for me.
Wow, that Power Rangers was episode.
Let me tell you, you put words in my mouth ever again and I'll fucking cut you. I am
Philip. I'm first we'll have a little chat.
Then put on our improvers.
Now it's time for Next at Bats.
And we're here today with the Hall of Presidents. Hey, Hall of Presidents.
Salutations, citizen.
Hello.
The other two did non-verbal hellos.
I saluted in more like in a Power Rangers form than presidential form.
I thought we were going round robin on that one.
We could do that. So, Hall of Presidents, would you care to sound off and introduce yourselves?
My name is Will Roberts. Y'all know me.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
boy, I almost stepped on that. I'm sorry.
Oh, you did.
We have a problem with that.
Sharing focus.
Yeah, yeah. We're all just gigantic hogs.
Yeah.
Oink, oink.
I'm Jeff Gillen.
Oink.
Hey! I see what you did there.
I'm Mike. I'm the Renner, I guess. I'm the more polite one.
He's pretty polite.
And as always, I am here
Philip
today with...
Philip Simondet.
And of Matthew McCloud. And thank you, Philip. I'll see you in about 22 minutes.
Yeah, I'll be in my corner.
Okay.
Shade down.
Oh, hey, Philip, real quick.
Shade up.
Can you make it especially creepy today?
Oh, these guys?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get into creep beast mode.
Mm. Okay.
I'm going to go stew in creepiness for a while.
All right,
shade
thanks.
Shade down, but just a crack open so I can watch him.
Why is he lighting candles?
Don't ask.
Okay.
There's a weird smell coming from that corner.
Yeah. And if you'll notice, there's one eyeball that'll just follow you around the room.
Zoinks.
So, Hall of Presidents,
right.
You guys are a relatively new group, and sort of, I guess you could say, spun off from the Mighty Morphin Improv Rangers.
I don't think there's a sort of about it.
Of the idea came in the middle of a Improv Rangers rehearsal.
Oh, so. Terrific. Do you guys want to talk about how you came up with this and how you decided to work together and why you decided to exclude all women?
I think you should ask me electoral college.
I'm kidding.
That's endemic of our political system.
Do you want to get into a discussion right now, Matt?
No.
This country has a long way to go.
No,
Hillary 2016. I'm ready for Hillary. Yeah.
I believe in Hillary.
I am kidding. I know all three of you guys, and I know that that is not why you decided to be in a group together.
Actually, it kind of started because we were literally doing a Power Rangers rehearsal with just the three of us in it.
And Bryce was directing.
Bryce Kala. Mm-hmm. You can hear him talk in the previous Next at Bat with Mighty Morphin Improv Rangers.
Right.
We were just goofing
Which
around.
A great episode, by the way. I mean, I know I'm the host, I'm not supposed to say that, but it's a good fucking episode. One of my favorites.
As a co-host, I thought it was okay. Shade down.
Burn. Sick
Seriously,
burn.
There is like flickering, like there is something, there's something coming from his corner that is just foul.
Yeah. He burns any flesh he can get his hands on.
Ooh.
Yeah. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, so we were, I don't even remember the reason why, but I think it was just because we were...
It's because we were kind of like just running through various exercises, but we were doing like an impressions type exercise where we were asked to...
That's right.
Bryce was just, I don't know what the exact idea was, but it was like, let's do a scene where you're all doing an impression.
Was so we would have different characterizations than just our
Because
Ranger
I mean, because yeah, mm-hmm. in Improv Rangers we are playing ourselves,
right.
So we try and make when we're not playing ourselves very different from our natural speaking voices.
Sure.
So we try and go into really weird characters, like I did in practice this morning.
Right, you almost play monster types,
yeah.
Isn't that right? In a lot of cases,
and then to like a principal will have a different voice than a student.
Principal Wax and Flex.
Yeah. That sort of thing. And then we were just doing these really kind of terrible impressions in the best possible way.
But what I remember is that Will did two presidential ones in a row. He did both Joe Biden and Clinton.
I did Clinton in a row.
And we called it out. And then you and me started taking on random like presidential impressions as well.
And we literally thought we should do a group called Hall of Presidents.
Yeah, and it's sort of, no one can see this, but I'm doing the robot as I say this. Just sort of like, the idea originally was just like acting like presidents in the Hall of Presidents and being animatronics, just moving around and talking about things that happened when we were presidents. Like that was how we would always, especially I remember Renner would always refer to it whenever we talked about it, he'd start making those robot motions. So as with all great ideas for improv, it started off as mostly a joke.
But it was a well-timed joke because this kind of joke came up around September, October, and at the same time, sign-ups were going out for Improvathon.
Yeah.
So we...
that's where a lot of groups, just for anybody who is unfamiliar with Improvathon, a lot of groups form for Improvathon, and it's a good place to experiment, which I'm guessing is kind of what you guys are leading up to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was sort of a joke, and there was the whole kind of... walking around the issue like, oh yeah, that was a fun joke. Wouldn't it be great if we were kind of a group?
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
which is like all of us are just in our heart of hearts saying, somebody say let's do this.
I don't want to enforce this.
It's like a guy and a girl who like each other, but both are like, we should try kissing sometime. Wouldn't that be funny?
and if we like it, who knows?
Yeah.
You know? And it kind of spun off from there.
So it was one of us went like, oh, why don't we just sign up for Improvathon as Hall of Presidents? Who knows what we'll do, but we'll sign up for like some weird 3 a.m. slot and see how it goes. And
that's what you did.
That's exactly what happened.
And what's funny is that when we came to like talking about what we actually wanted to do for a set, we all had a very similar idea and that we wanted to something that was very adventure focused, similar to what Adventures of Tim Troy and Damien tried to do with their style as presidents.
Also an amazing show that was on Next at Bat.
Mm-hmm. What was the episode number, host?
57?
Shade up, that might be right. Shade down.
There is smoke coming from his shade.
Yeah, I can smell it. It actually smells vaguely good compared to normal, just so you know.
Oh,
anyway,
that's a plus.
He may be cooking. I don't know.
But what is he cooking?
Cooking up trouble.
Oh, wow.
I'm even ashamed of that.
Good.
No referencing old episodes.
We've done it 4 other times.
Is this not the first episode of Next at Bat? I specifically wanted to be the very first guest.
No, it is.
Okay, thank you. Inaugural.
Yeah, go on. So how did Improvathon go? What did you decide to do as a form for that? And
I remember specifically coming to Huge one night, and Jeff and Michael were already there, and they were like, Will, Hall of Presidents is a thing now because we're signing up for Improvathon, and B, we have an idea. And I was like, what if their presence, like they're secretly... established by Disney in the Hall of Presidents, and their job is to save the world. Like, they're a superhero force. And I loved the idea so much.
Great idea.
Yeah. Because, again, like, you can see how that's... You can already see how that goes, how that is a set, and it's a funny idea. And so we met at my house.
Yeah.
And we just, like... We talked for a little bit, and then we just sort of jumped in. Like, that was... Yeah, we just kind of started doing it. We warmed up with an impressions game that we do a lot of, and then we just jumped in and did episodes.
Yeah.
And I also want to plug a very good book that we used as reference material. It's How to Fight Presidents by Daniel O'Brien, a writer at Cracked.com. And it was all just very basic statistics of how insane you have to be president.
Mm-hmm.
So those were a lot of great building blocks to create these larger than life characters as the president.
Because obviously for most of them, you know, we don't have footage of them or we don't know how they speak or how to impersonate them well. So we're trying to build, characters on the fly off of, we actually have a set of presidential flashcards that have, you know, the president on the front, a nice portrait and some facts on the back that we read off. We have the audience select one for each of us to play during that set, and we read off some of the facts. And between that and what we kind of know about the presidents, we kind of build a character around that.
Yeah, we kind of have to have the best facts already established, because they're not really on the cards, like the best facts. Like
who is an alcoholic and who is a raging asshole? Uh-huh. And
who kills people with his bare hands?
Yeah.
Roosevelt.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Jackson as well.
Jackson. FDR, massive murderer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, who could walk all of them?
Except FDR.
He had crutches at some points.
There's no way Taft could walk well.
Apparently,
he got stuck in a bathtub.
Apparently, yeah, that story is true, and I'm really happy and sad at the same time.
He hated being president too. Taft hated being president
to the point where he later became Supreme Court Justice or Chief Justice of the mm-hmm. Supreme Court, and on his tombstone it lists him as William Howard Taft, Supreme Justice or Chief Justice, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court,
Justice.
And does not list him as U.S. President.
Supreme Justice would be an awesome superhero name.
Yeah.
All right, I'm writing that down.
Mm-hmm. The joke of my fuck up overshadowed the fact that I was reciting.
It's a great fact.
They're fascinating human characters. Mm-hmm. Because they're
larger than life by themselves.
Yeah, and the book we were using did gloss over a lot of their more negative aspects as opposed some of them.
Except for Millard Fillmore.
And Nixon.
Yeah.
He did not like Nixon. No.
How about Jackson?
He definitely acknowledged the fact that he was a genocidal, horrible human being.
Mm-hmm.
But
he emphasized the fact that he was just a murderous human being who was very passionate and crazy about fighting.
For America.
For America.
But only white America.
Right.
I'm trying to defend his book, but
the thing is, it's more fun to think, I don't know. It's more fun. It's.
It wasn't trying to be apologist or.
No,
or
right, present, no, right.
It was a comedy book first. Yeah. So. Right.
It focused on that.
So you embody these different presidents, and then you go on different adventures to help save the universe.
Or we haven't done universe yet.
No, we haven't.
We have
done
not
universe.
Shot them into space.
We
but
focus on America. We have to save that idea.
Look, America's got a lot of problems, and we want to save America first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, kind of talk through what does a typical show look like?
It's changing because we're working on
another form.
So we had a couple. We had Improvathon. We had another one-off show at Honey, the Monsters of Improv. And another one at the Die Laughing Marathon that Fearless Comedy puts on.
Mm-hmm.
And then since then, we got a Wednesday run at Huge Theater starting in May. So for this Wednesday run, we decided to take a look at the form that we were using and refine it, figure out what we really like about it, and how we could make it better, tighter.
And we kind of found that this idea of... We're kind of getting inspiration from 80s television, whether it's the A-Team or G.I. Joe, anything like that, because it is such an absurd premise that we're treating as a fact that, yes, these robotic time-traveling heroes of America are deciding to save America.
Yeah. The starting line is, we have no official word on how these presidents are still alive. Or
we have various theories that we've presented in various sets. It changes from set to set.
Yeah. But we know a team of Disney's Imagineers in the early 70s brought back America's greatest defenders to protect it from whatever threats may come.
Prolonged conflict with Vietnam and communistic antagonism.
Right. And they teamed up with Carl Sagan, Richard Feynman,
and the radiation ghost of Marie Curie.
this is all covered in the theme song, which we don't have right here, but there is going to be a theme song.
Will is a great musician, so he actually recorded us a theme song.
Yeah, it's pretty epic.
So basically, we start with a cold open, examining the problem, cut to the theme song, and we're going to be doing montages of action over the theme song.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And then it's just us trying to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm. And dealing with our own personal presidential issues. Last practice, Reagan had trouble with his wife, who was also a robot, I think. But wasn't okay with them being robots. And also, she danced with Marty Van Buren. So there was some tension there.
Yeah.
And also, Martin Van Buren was the only one that was like time displaced.
Right. Yeah. He was taken from before he was president out of the time stream, but given the memories of him being president.
Also, we decided he had to be placed back into the time stream at the right point too, so we couldn't let him die.
Yeah, we couldn't let him die. Otherwise, everything would be ruined. Also, we definitely had a little precog boy who helped us out a la Minority Report, who told us that something was wrong. That's never happened before.
No.
You know what else has never happened before?
What?
Jeff clapping on this podcast.
Made it an episode and a half.
No, that's...
The little precog boy is what put me over the edge.
That's all delightfully strange.
That's par for the course.
Like, that's... Aside from just the fact that we have these historical figures that it's fun to play, I also think, because we definitely connect over our nerd, you know, just our nerd heritage.
We have a shared love of, you know, comics and you know, genre movies and a lot of that sort of nerd brothers. Stuff. Yeah.
So part of the fun, at least for me, is coming up with this, just inserting these sci-fi ideas or just comic book ideas into the show, and then just like taking or leaving them. Yeah, like they're just in there for fun. Yeah.
Like, who had a robot suit?
William Henry Harrison had Iron Man suit.
Because he was old.
He was very...
Because he was our second oldest president after Reagan.
Was he?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Reagan was oldest at 69, I think, when he was elected president. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
What's also fun is the kind of things that we have decided to create as a sort of small continuity within our practices and shows.
There's certain things that always stick.
Like the idea that... John Adams is disappointed with his son, John Quincy Adams. And also, he's trying to clone John Quincy Adams to create the perfect John Quincy Adams.
And so we always have that relationship at a crossroads sort of thing. And John Quincy Adams, I just want Dad to love me.
So it's like anytime we pull either of those presidents, we have that relationship already built in our heads.
And that came about because for like three or four episodes, we always got Ann Adams in our draw.
We even have like ancillary characters
like their butler.
Butler that keep reoccurring whenever one of the Adams comes up.
Yeah. Also, I mean, yeah. One thing that only happened once that I loved was Grover. So Grover Cleveland, as we know from the book about presidents, he had a secret surgery to remove a brain tumor that he got while he was president, and like only five people knew about it at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was kept really well.
They did it on a boat, so no one would find out about it. I think on his birthday or like New Year's, something big where they wouldn't find it weird that he's out on a boat. Out.
Yeah.
And they went in through the mouth too, so there wouldn't be any scarring. So no one would be able to see it. So he kept that hidden from everyone until after his death, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then he revealed it?
No.
Somehow someone found out.
He did.
And at the same time, Grover Cleveland was also our only president to have
two non-consecutive terms. So he's got a split personality, and we decided, just through somehow this happened in the set, that the tumor was his split personality, and it could take over his brain. So we had it removed, but its consciousness... His real name is Steven, so we have Grover, who's the good guy, and Steven, who's the bad one.
And each of them had one term.
Yeah. And so, like, I don't know, last week...
Steven Cleveland?
Yeah. Steven Cleveland. Last week we left it off was Steven Cleveland. In my mind, I don't know if he'll ever come back, because who knows if we'll get Grover Cleveland again, but, like, Steven Cleveland is out there like this Ultron-like AI that can inhabit different bodies. That's how it goes in my mind.
That's amazing. So you've already been able to build all this mythology, and the group is still very young.
For ourselves, at least. I don't know if anyone knows or cares about it except for us.
But I think so. Like, one of the things that audiences love is specificity. When they see that, it doesn't matter how, you know, crazy it is or, you know, zany it is. If you guys believe the reality, I mean, that's the reality. And it sounds like you're incredibly specific and incredibly on the same page.
Yeah. It's crazy how like easy it is to get into a group mind with these two.
Yeah.
We are very, it's like I said, coming from very similar backgrounds and pop culture mindsets, it's so easy to make a subtle reference to something and have the other guys pick up on it.
Yeah, we kind of called out Reagan in our last rehearsal as sort of being like Wolverine.
Which again is from the book.
Which is from How to Fight Presidents. But it's kind of true because he was shot by John Hinckley.
Right.
And it didn't kill him. It just like bounced off of one of his ribs and grazed his lung. And he only realized something was wrong when he started coughing up blood. And then they went to the hospital and he's just saying all this stuff jokingly because he's such a charming dude. He was just like, well, I hope all the surgeons are Republicans. You know, just stuff like that. And it's like, that's amazing. He was that calm. So we called him Wolverine for that. So, of course, Reagan has Wolverine claws and a skeleton made out of metal. And we all were on the same page with that. It was just like, that has to be
obviously. Yeah, definitely. That's do you credit that to, I mean, obviously you guys are good friends and well, obviously to me who knows you, but I guess to the listeners maybe they don't know that you guys hang out a lot.
We do now,
and
this time last year I didn't really know either of you.
No, right. I literally like interacted with Renner the first time I met him was at the Power Rangers rehearsal,
right?
Or audition.
Audition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I'd seen him like a couple times around.
Yeah, you were
around huge, but I hadn't really like talked to him very much, or you know,
that was only
this last summer.
Mm-hmm.
So not 9 months ago.
Yeah, so I was gonna say, do you credit the ease with which you work together, with, you know, working on Power Rangers together, and I guess what else? I don't want to put words in your mouth because I've already done that for you, Will.
Will did not like that.
See episode
54.
Mighty Morphin Improv.
If I am right, I'm going to be so happy.
Can we reference your License to Krill episode so that we can get a few more episodes?
Yeah, like, so yeah, the License to Krill episode,
get the footnotes
I said
really long
that were carried over for the Power Rangers.
It's going to be like Infinite Jest by the
previously
time we're
done. On Next It Back.
Footnote.
And then we'll make Philip edit them in.
Oh, but, I just had an idea. Sorry.
Which is a reference.
We could totally
to
have a just a fake previously on Hall of Presidents. I don't know. Anyway,
we're gonna have to do that at some point. You know that.
But it was because when we were working on Power Rangers, we were finding that we worked really well in that one rehearsal when it was just the three of us. We were just cracking each other up. I think it was like a baseball game with.
I remember us being on a starship.
It was your father, wasn't it?
Oh, that's right. That's right. The joke in that one was that I was trying to get my dad to appreciate me. Yeah. And the joke was that my father would be standing at the top of the stands at the baseball stadium just clapping.
At the end of the game.
And I remember you like.
And I was constantly trying to engineer that in the set.
Yeah, and you went in like to confront his father and be like, "You should go easier on Jeff." And you were so you were his father, and you were playing it so like grumpy. And Mike was so earnest, and you said like, "I've been saving this secret until he was 14. I've always wanted him to know it since birth." And then Mike just goes, "Wait a minute, why did you save it till he was 14?" And you just got super pissed at him. And it was a really great moment.
And it turns out we had similar. Like mind meld for that thing, and then it was just this is a natural progression of it because it's not different from Power Rangers in certain ways, but the fact that it's only the three of us that we're able to always make sure that pretty much we're all on stage at the same time,
right?
Mm-hmm. And then we just create way too many other characters that we eventually have to play in the final showdown.
Yeah, it's
so. I think in practice the other night, I think we had at least 7 characters that the three of us had to play in the final showdown.
Yeah. Like, and the weird thing is, having that many characters, I think, wouldn't work with a larger group. I don't know. Like, it's easier to have a lot of characters in a scene when you have only 3 people, because then you can only, you only have to pay attention to 3 people, really. And then, as opposed to 7 people who are all trying to balance, you know, getting their say in, but also making sure everyone else works well. It's, some of it might be easier to do group scenes with fewer people.
And then we always have fun just like calling out the character that one of us is not, so that one of us needs to run and take that character.
Yeah, you can make more dick moves when you're in a smaller group.
You mentioned progression. What do you see as... Do you have kind of an idea of what you hope to see this group do eventually? Or are you not there yet? You're kind of enjoying the moment.
I would say we're definitely in the enjoying the moment phase.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is the right place to talk about it, but I would really love to, after this run of Hall of Presidents, or maybe after a little while, start trying to create other things with you guys. You know, take us forward as an actual trio.
Is this happening? And Jeff, are you going down on your knees right now? What's in that box, Jeff? What's in that box?
He has two rings!
But it's like, I love improvising with you guys so much that I hope that we, you know, can you know, do other things and try other forms and not just do this silly Hall of Presidents thing, which is so much fun for itself.
Will,
but
Michael, do they fit?
Yeah.
They do, and that kind of weirds me out because we barely hold hands.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I've never actually said it to you guys, but I hope that we can continue doing stuff.
Well, no, it's funny because it goes back to what Drew Kirsten said in passing to us. He just said, "What are you guys just three long-haired, beardy, tall guys?" at one point, and then it was like, "Oh yeah, that's our group name, and our form is Hall of Presidents." Mm-hmm. Is something that kind of stuck. So. Well, I'm always looking forward to creating stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And I guess this is our verbal commitment to say we're going to keep.
We're
doing
not
going to
be doing Hall of Presidents forever. It's a form that this trio is doing for now.
And that sort of is a good segue into just one thing I do like about Hall of Presidents is it's sort of a genre show, but it's kind of like it's not aping a particular genre. It's not taking from any established show or anything like that. Like, it's not an homage. It's kind of its own, like, I don't know. I enjoy the idea of using improv to sort of write your own show, mm-hmm. I guess, which I think that's one thing I really enjoy about it, is it can be whatever we want. Like, it's sort of a show, and
it seems to play to your strengths really well, which is that you all three of you love the idea of like adventures.
Mm-hmm.
And you all are very physical, as far as propulsive, and you love to keep the energy up and keep things really moving on stage. And you are all very intelligent. So, like, you know, being able to pull shit out that you know is enjoyable for you, right? God damn it, Will. Why don't you talk about roller coasters?
Oh, I will. It's that idea of playing to the top of your intelligence.
Right.
And I love that idea.
As a character and as an improviser.
Right, and I think we talked about this too with Power Rangers, but it's just like... My idea about humanity in general, and this is the thing that helps me go to bed at night, is that there are only a couple really stupid people in the world. Everyone else is just... ignorant. It's different shades of ignorance, and the only real stupidity comes from not wanting to change your certain ignorance kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, it's recognizing that you yourself are ignorant of certain things. Mm-hmm. So by having that in mind, but not treating the character as that ignorance being a mental infirmity,
mm-hmm.
you're able to have that character be a real person.
Mm-hmm.
So they're ignorant of certain social interactions, anything like that, or in the case of Andrew Jackson, ignorant in his intolerance, but he was not a stupid person.
Right.
He wasn't a great person either, but he was also a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it easier to relate to them, and that makes it easier to play that character.
Mm-hmm. Going forward, what is a form that would be interesting to you guys to maybe explore in the future?
I knew this question was coming, but for some reason I didn't think about it ahead of time.
What are you naming this segment now?
I'm not actually doing that segment because you guys have all done it recently.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I know I've been talking a lot lately, but I'm really inspired by the group Three for All in terms of just the fact that they're able to... Their short form in their version of it is them basically doing a montage, which is long form.
Yeah,
and then they're able to do genre stuff. I would love to be able to get the opportunity to just try as much stuff as possible. Mm-hmm. Close quarters seems like it would be a really interesting way to move forward with this too, with this group.
I've always been interested in close quarters, mm-hmm. but I've never gotten into throwback night.
Boo.
I have no idea. I don't know where we would go next after this. We'd have to, you know, talk about it, of course, but
I'm not going to talk about it.
Nope. I've been doing a lot of narrative stuff lately between Power Rangers and Hall of Presidents, and so I think something outside of narrative or into more of the Beats version of narrative, the Herald mm-hmm. version of narrative, and less on the you know, adventure version of narrative where it's, you know, it's following a character versus telling a story. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm.
those are both good ideas.
But not as good as mine.
I have, well, my idea is not an idea because it doesn't exist yet because yeah. I still need time to think.
How creative are you? It doesn't exist
I
would, yet.
Yeah. Because you threw this question at us when we were...
This is a...
Totally prepared for it because yeah. you've been on the show recently.
One of those media gotcha questions. Yeah.
Again, kind of playing to your strengths, I'd love to see you guys do something like Follow the Lever.
Yeah.
Because it allows you
is
to...
Is that ever not fun, though?
Yeah. It's so fun, but in the three-person group, I think it could be really cool. And
it's so fascinating.
It's fast, mm-hmm. and allows you to be gamey if you want to be, but character-driven when you want to be, too. Stuff like that.
It's so fun with that one, too, just because you hear everyone that's like, oh, I kind of hate this for doing this.
Yeah. And I don't get it. I love doing Follow the Lever.
I think it's great. Yeah. It's just one of those things like, oh, yeah, he left. Run.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you just have to set your brain in a different...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And one thing...
Paradigm.
Just one thing. I'm happy to about the answers you guys gave, and Matt as well, is that I like... I tend to enjoy forms where there's a lot of freedom, I think, yeah. and we're not terribly beholden to us. But like, I did deconstruction for, you know, I was in a deconstruction show, and like, I think it's a really cool form, but it's not like I get claustrophobic in that kind of show where there's not as much freedom, and it's like we have to do this type of scene now. And same with Harold, like I get a little claustrophobic in Harold, and I feel like, you know, I'm more geared towards forms where there's less specificity in what it's supposed to be, and it's more there to sort of narrow the scenes you can do down, but not specifically mandate them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And our form right now is pretty loose. I mean, we've spent a lot on figuring out how to start the show. I would say our first four scenes or three scenes are pretty well set. There's an eventual point where we get to where we sort of have a meeting scene where we get the problem that we're going to. We get sent out on a mission.
Yeah, we usually have the cold open, the intro to presidents, and then the meeting where it sets everything up.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then after that meeting scene, it's just free reign. Like, if we don't finish the story, then we don't finish the story.
Yep.
Wherever we go, wherever we end up doing, it only really has to follow that, you know, we're following the story of those three presidents. You know, we haven't done any set right now in practice or on stage where we've, you know, diverged from the presidents, so.
But we could.
We could. Awesome. We could have a whole alternate story going on mm-hmm. that we just don't care about.
Yeah.
Hall of Presidents, fuck it.
Oh, yeah. That was more or less our second show, but.
Well, speaking of fuck
it. That was our bottle episode where we were just stuck in the lab.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was more adventure, fuck it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. First, I just got what Matt said, and second, I think the shades are on fire.
Oh.
Well, now's the time in the show where I'm going to throw the microphone over to Philip Simondet for a brand new segment that we call... Phillips Corner!
It's Phillips Corner! That looks like an expensive mic to be throwing it. You really shouldn't.
Yeah, well. There's no need to raise the shade because I've burned it down.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And you have dressed yourself in nothing but animal hides.
That's right.
But it's a nice three-piece suit made of animal hide. That's
right. I've been busy.
It's mostly squirrel.
This is Dapper Conan, is what I'd call it.
This is a new segment we're going to try.
Oh, no, wait. Classy Conan. Thank you. Good night.
Yeah, that alliteration was important.
Added alliterative appeal.
This is what I'm going to do with my new suit, as I'm going to stare at you each individually and awkwardly and ask you questions. And it's going to be extra creepy. Will, what kind of meats have you eaten? And where do you draw the lines on types of meat you would eat?
Okay. Obviously, I've eaten beef. I've eaten chicken. I'm in no way a vegetarian. I've eaten lamb. This is going to be long. I didn't try. I've had bison. I love bison. What other? I mean, you know, fish meats. I can't tell you all the types of fish I've tried. That's probably not that many. Pork. Oh, I've eaten pork. I have eaten the shit out of pork. All right. So let's. I know. Did I try? I've had an elk hot dog. I've had a hot dog made of elk. I had that at the biker gyms in Denver. Plug. Great place. they had a rattlesnake hot dog there that I did not try but was intrigued by and would try if I were the kind of person who ever ordered more than one thing off the same menu. The place I would draw the line, I would never like, if there were like a burger made of like just a bunch, a large swath of bug meat, like they just got a bunch of bugs. I feel like if I were in the far future and bugs were farmed for their protein, I would probably concede and eat bugs. But as it stands, I will not substitute bugs for meat. Like if they're in sort of some sort of, you know, nutrient paste that's necessary for survival because, you know, we've used up all our resources and have to eat bugs because they're more efficient than cows, so be it. I'll acquiesce. But
do you think that's a function of your environment, though? I mean, you didn't grow up eating bugs. You don't have a taste for bugs. But if you grew up eating bugs, do you think?
I don't have like a problem. You know, I'm not a humanitarian in that I respect the bugs' lives. I just like bugs' existence is just the most horrible thing. I hate bugs. I saw a centipede on the floor last night, and I like almost screamed. No, I hate which is odd because I have a frog and I keep crickets. Like in a cricket keeper, but I don't want them to get out. I hate crickets. I'm glad my frog eats them. But yeah, no, bugs are bad. Their existence, I don't want them inside me. I don't want them in my body. I don't want to be part bug.
Why did we laugh at the word cricket keeper?
Because it's like a weird spin-off of the crypt keeper.
That's what I thought too.
Shit, shit. We're going to have a ghoulish time. Oh, frog.
Also, I'd have a problem with eating dolphin or human meat.
Not whale.
Oh, whale I would not eat.
Oh.
Unless, I don't know, unless it were just like some asshole orca who really had it coming.
It's not Free Willy, it's fucking Willy.
Oh, I do want to say, New Bohemia in Northeast Minneapolis does have a rattlesnake sausage.
Ooh, noted.
How can you tell the difference between the sausage and the original rattlesnake?
The original rattlesnake was still alive and it bit people. The sausage is a dead ground-up rattlesnake.
So it's justified eating its meat.
Yeah. It's like that asshole orca.
That
hypothetical asshole orca.
He ate many seals.
You know, that asshole orca had a name. It's Ted.
Like the talks.
I'm trying to come up with a portmanteau of Ted and Delicious, and I've only got Ted Delicious. Ted Delicious. You just cut out, you combine the D's.
Delectable.
Like, that's awesome. That's why you have a master's in writing, Philip.
You're just making me think of Ted Delicious apples.
Is that a thing?
No, but Red Delicious.
Oh, Red Delicious. Yeah. Those, I don't like those apples.
No, they're not good. They are not delicious. That's why they had to put it in the name. It's a marketing thing.
Okay, I won't state my opinion.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wow. Uh-oh, are we breaking
hey,
up?
Hey, Mike, what do you think?
I kind of like them. I kind of do.
Fucking ass. You like that orca.
So you're the one.
So question, do you see it in my eyes when I light up and I'm about to go on a big rant?
Yeah. You kind of lurch back and go forward.
You just kind of jump into it.
Here we go.
Michael.
It's very smooth.
Michael.
Yes.
What kind of apples have you eaten? And where do you draw the line on what type of apples you would eat?
Right.
That's creepy.
No, that's a great question because it also makes me realize that I have not been eating enough fruit and vegetables over the past 6 months, if not my lifetime. But I do very much enjoy a Red Delicious. I'm more of a fan of Fiji apples right now because they got a nice crispness and not tartness. And it's not too sweet either, so it works out very well. I remember eating a lot of Granny Smith when I was a youth. But I think I fell out of favor of that. I'm not entirely sure why, so maybe I should start up that habit again. Pink Ladies, I also enjoy. Those ones are pretty nice apples. I don't think I want to eat crab apples, mainly because they have the word crab in them, and I'm very much against eating seafood. Mainly because they're, as Will had an issue with bugs, I have an issue with seafood because they are just bigger bugs that are monster bugs that live in the ocean.
For some reason, their being big makes me more okay with them.
So,
wow, psychoanalyze.
Going back to your statement, if the bugs were the size that they were in the 2005 Peter Jackson version of King Kong, would you eat a bug then?
Because like if you could make a
this is a big gotcha question, because the answer is no, but I still have eaten lobster and I still like lobster.
What if they're the size of the bugs from Starship Troopers?
Then I would not eat.
What if they were delicious?
God, I mean, I still.
What if they were cockroach delicious?
The thing is, I'm just able to not think about it with seafood. I can just.
How about this? What if the bugs instead were pigs, and the meat was pork?
I would eat those. Okay. I would eat the pig bug pork.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's something. A bacon wrapped apple. I haven't tried that yet, and I think we should. As a species.
Is that a thing that exists?
I've had bacon wrapped figs.
And those are good.
And I feel like that has to exist.
State fair. You know, that sounds like a state fair thing.
A bacon wrapped apple. You guys
if that doesn't start.
They're called devils on horseback. That's what bacon wrapped figs are called.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant the apples. I'm imagining that's going to happen this state fair, that it's just going to be an apple wrapped in bacon and
maple
deep
bacon.
Fried.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds delicious. Actually,
yeah,
and it comes with like a little maple dipping sauce.
Yeah, that does sound awesome.
You're welcome, Minnesota State Fair.
Oh, with apple bacon ice cream on the side.
This is infinitely better than deep fried butter. Get rid of it.
Shut it down.
Terrible.
Jeff.
Philip.
What have you eaten at the state fair? And where do you draw the line on things that you would eat at the state fair?
The last weird thing I remember eating at the state fair was a deep fried Twinkie. It was not all that great. I mean, it was just a Twinkie deep fried. Yeah. I am very much a classics man. I go for cheese curds and corn dogs.
Corn dogs are so good.
The things that, you know, I don't remember a lot of like state fair food. Like I don't go to the state fair that often. Once every few years. I hear a lot about ballpark food. There seems to be every year at the beginning of baseball season. Websites want to report on what weird food is now coming out at ballparks. So, like, the idea of, like, a Krispy Kreme donut with, like, sausage in the middle and, like, drizzled sort of sauce on top. It's that combination of, like, sweet and salty that I'm not a huge fan of. So, it's like putting meat, or maybe it's sweet and umami, sweet and savory is a little, it's weird. I mean, but maple bacon's okay. But like,
don't want to eat the sweet.
I don't. I'm not interested in eating the like sausage with a Krispy Kreme for a bun and I don't know, chocolate sauce for ketchup.
Yeah. Ooh, I'd do it.
It's not. That's my long rant about state fair food.
I've got one final question that you can all answer as a group. If you were offered barbecue by someone. And they've been barbecuing over in their corner for, 22 minutes.
What's the catch?
You have an inkling that this could be human meat that you're eating. But there's no reason to think that. But you just think that in the back of your mind. But it would be kind of rude to not eat the burgers because, like, you're a guest in this person's podcast and this other person's home.
Did you guys smell that?
This is oddly specific.
What would you like on that burger?
Onions and American and ketchup.
I like a good cowboy burger. So onion ring and pepper jack cheese and barbecue sauce.
I've actually been really enjoying getting the toppings of a Chicago-style hot dog on burgers right now. And then I just like some pepper jack cheese, maybe a little bit of sriracha, not too much because that's overpowering, but with the peppers.
I guess I don't know what goes good with human, though.
We're not sure it's human. We just have an inkling. Are we culpable? Are we like accomplices if it's eaten? If we have the suspicion that it might be human,
I think it's if there's enough evidence that we could have possibly seen. Is there reasonable doubt? I think is the question.
Okay.
Because
there is a reasonable doubt that this is human. Let's eat.
just because people have inklings doesn't mean they're right.
Hypothetically, no, I mean, what if it's someone... It's like if there was skin hanging from the wall. Human skin.
Burning hair.
Okay, so what if...
Oh, I gotta go flip.
A serial killer holds you two burgers and says, one of these is human, the other is beef. And you can pick. You pick a burger. Are you... Then what? Then what's the rule? There's a reasonable doubt, you know?
Don't you need to ask him which village he grew up in, then?
Is that... What?
Oh, never mind. That's one thing can only tell the truth and one always lies. Ignore me. Sorry.
It's the logical conundrum.
Yeah.
And that has been Phillip's Corner. Thanks, guys.
I am free to clap now.
All right. You guys ready to do some improv?
Yes. Next up,
bats! Choose a card.
It's like the most American version of tarot.
Oh, God. I don't know anything about this one.
Oh, yes. I
don't know. Oh, Rutherford Hayes is awesome.
I got James Madison.
Ulysses S. Grant. James
Madison before.
I think he did.
Fucking.
Franklin Pierce is an alcoholic.
He was an alcoholic. He lied to his wife and never told her that he was running for president. And she didn't know until he got the, I believe it was the Republican nomination. He also ran and fought in the Mexican-American War, I think, without telling her.
We've got two very drunk guys, at least.
Who?
Pearson Grant.
Pearson Grant?
Oh, yeah. U.S. Grant is a notorious
That's awesome.
Rutherford B. Hayes just, like, he got shot so many times in the Civil War. And he's just, like, made of iron.
Also, he was elected without a majority. One of the first presidents elected without a majority of votes.
Because he was Rutherfraud.
Rutherfraud B. Hayes.
Because so people were like, "You're not a legitimate president."
Mm-hmm. And then that never happened again.
I think we should introduce the presidents.
I am going to be. This is Jeff. I'm going to be James Madison. So James Madison was our fourth president. He's the father of the Constitution, and he played a large role in drafting the Bill of Rights. And he's also our shortest president at 5'4".
This is Mike, and I'm going to be playing Dwight D. Eisenhower, who had the first television campaign. He was the Supreme Allied Commander during World War II. He was president during the start of the Vietnam War, and he was one very focused on enforcing school desegregation.
Says Philip, I'm going to be Franklin Pierce, the 14th president. I supported immigrant rights. I appointed Jefferson Davis, the future president of the Confederate States. I appointed him Secretary of War. And I passed a controversial Kansas-Nebraska Act nullifying the Missouri Compromise.
You're a dick.
But he liked immigrant rights.
I'm Rutherford B. Hayes. I'm the 19th president of the United States. Turns out that I was a Republican. I volunteer counsel for the Underground Railroad, helping slaves win freedom. Congress had to create a special electoral commission to decide the election that I was a part of. And I withdrew troops from the South and helped the labor unions grow. Also took several bullets.
I'm Will, and I'll be playing Ulysses S. Grant, known as the commanding general of the Union Army during the Civil War. I continued Southern Reconstruction. I had political corruption at all levels of office. And under my watch, Colorado joined the Union. Like to drink.
Me too.
Medicine is our suggestion.
We open on a hospital wing. This is the infectious diseases sort of like wing that they close off where they have a lot of laboratories.
Actually, the entrance to this wing is one of those like, what do they call it?
Airlock door kind of thing?
Airlock doors where they can spray you down to get you non-infectious anymore.
We see blood dripping from the ceiling fan. In this room,
panning down from the ceiling fan, we see that there is actually blood on every wall of this room. It has been sprayed in various patterns along every wall in this room.
There's some that's been scraped down as if like a hand has been dragged across it, and the doors that lead in out of that decontamination chamber are wide open.
The garbage can is full. Nothing like interesting, just papers.
But there's blood on them.
We hear a dull moan.
Are they still out there?
I think so. We need to get out of here now. Wait, your suit.
My suit what? What about my suit?
There's a tear.
Oh, God.
Frank.
Chuck.
I'm leaving.
All right.
I'm not bringing you with me.
I know. I understand.
I'll tell Charlene you died honorably.
Can you at least tell her that I loved her, too?
I guess.
Thank you.
I guess I'll try.
I care more
you're,
about
you're
that.
You're giving me a lot of stuff to tell her.
You should probably let go of my hand now.
Oh, God.
Oh, gosh. Just go. Tell Charlene I love her.
I'm going.
We cut to a field, and in that field, there is a very nice-looking mansion. It's almost pre-colonial in appearance.
Inside, there is the smell of fine liquors.
Seeing it on the wall of this mansion, there is two photographs of army regiments. They all look very dapper, and the man at the front has a very long beard and a lot of medals on his suit jacket, or his uniform. It's what they're called when you're in the military.
Yeah, I'll have another one.
All right, but...
Would you mind topping me off too there, Rutherford?
I have no problem giving either of you gentlemen some of my fine liqueurs, but I do have a problem with either of you getting handsy with my help.
Well, you know, dog will hunt. Tiger can't change his stripes.
I'm just talking to him, making sure you're treating them right. They're not from this country, after all.
You always were in favor of immigrant rights, Franklin Pierce.
You know it.
Madison, can you just come in here and try to talk to some sense into these two silly alcoholics?
I've never been one to have sense talked into me. I'm U.S. Unconditional Surrender Grant.
I always thought that imbibing a small amount of alcohol before dinner was good to one's constitution and intellectual development.
Here, here, more tequila from Mexico.
All right, well, we...
Constitution Daddy.
We're waiting on one more, but I think that we're going to have some work to do tonight.
All of a sudden, a mechanical bird flies in and lands on a perch.
It's a bald eagle.
Its head rotates 180 degrees.
And it pops backwards on a hinge, and out from the body of the bird comes a rolled parchment.
Well, I do believe we've been sent a message, gentlemen.
What's it say there, Madison?
It says, attention, stop. Hall of Presidents needs help, stop.
Hall of Presidents?
What? Hall of Presidents.
That's it?
It just says Hall of Presidents needs help. Wow. And then says stop. The word stop.
It figures this would happen at the drinking hour.
Gah.
Which is all hours.
Oh, it also says bring knives.
Ooh.
Oh.
Now you're talking my language.
To the horseless carriages!
If you'd like, we could just take the underground tunnels that I've used in the past for the Underground Railroad. It's much, much faster.
Why, Rutherford, I didn't know you opened those up to outsiders.
Only to my friends.
Rutherford, are we truly friends?
No, but you're presidents.
We cut to a beautiful Florida, and we cut down Main Street, USA, and find ourselves right outside the attraction, the Hall of Presidents, and one of Rutherford's tunnels leads directly into the sub-basement of the Hall of Presidents.
Quite a walk.
Are we that there is, yet?
That is some walk.
That is a long walk.
The lead in my belly.
Why
really
did you not
stings.
Install a monorail, an underground monorail?
Can you imagine how hard that would have
even
been?
Even Walt
being
had
chased?
A monorail.
Why didn't also, you install would, a shut the fuck up?
Why would the Underground Good Railroad Lord. Go to Disney World? That doesn't make any sense.
Dwight.
Gentlemen, good to see you. I see you got my eagle.
Supreme Commander.
Thanks. I always like being reminded
of that. Dwight, your message was
that.
Very cryptic. It said bring knives and nothing else.
Yes, of course.
I mean, the message said nothing else. I brought more than knives.
I filled my flask before we left.
Good, we need something flammable.
I couldn't decide which knife to bring, so,
so you
brought
them
all.
Of them. That's why I always liked you, U.S. So it looks like everyone's worst nightmare has come true. There's been a mixing of pathogens in the local hospital.
That's not my worst nightmare.
That's not my worst nightmare.
No.
I think we need to go through everyone's worst nightmares to make sure that what you're saying is actually true.
My worst nightmare is for labor unions to get disassembled.
My worst nightmare is when I'm I'm running away from a large spider that has a Confederate flag, and it looks like my mother.
Oh, for Christ's
sake. And also
sake.
It has a big flag that says Prohibition.
My worst nightmare is George Washington himself stepping on me with his gigantic boots. And
he
then,
did have and gigantic boots.
He did. But in my dream, his boots are entirely the size of the entire Capitol building.
Oh.
And these boots are just coming down on me, and they crush me ever so slowly so that my head is just crushed a little bit, and then down in my crack, I can feel each vertebrae in my spine cracking and crushing individually. It's
you know, intolerable. You know what Coleridge said during my time?
What?
Don't tread on me.
Salute that, sir.
I have a recurring nightmare that my wife Jane found out I was running for president and stopped it from happening.
My God, man, just tell her already. Tell her about the hall. Of our wives know about the hall.
It's been over 100 years.
My worst nightmare is being at the center of a nuclear blast, but also somehow being inside the nuclear bomb as it goes off. So I feel my atoms explode as the bomb goes off, but also feel myself burned to a crisp at the same time.
That would be incredibly fast. I don't know how that could be that bad of a way to go.
In my nightmares, it takes forever. Every pain lasts an eternity.
So Dwight, is what's going on right now any of these worst nightmares that we've shared?
I guess I was being hyperbolic. However...
Hyperbolic?
Yes. Over-exaggerating. However, it's still dire.
I'm sorry. I was confusing it with the word hyperbaric.
I have one of those chambers back at my chambers.
All right, I'm just going to say it. Zombies have been made.
What?
No. That's my worst nightmare. Oh, wait. No, I shared my worst
nightmare.
That
might actually be my worst nightmare.
I hadn't even thought of that. I've never had zombie dreams.
Not even one?
Who?
I mean,
wasn't it you with the immigration and the Haitians bringing zombies over to our neck of the woods?
No, it's not. It's not voodoo-based zombies.
Oh,
it's
these are Romero zombies.
Yeah, Romero-style pathogenetic.
Wouldn't you call that Danny Boyle zombies?
No.
Oh, come on.
No.
28 days later, it was a pathogen.
I mean, fast.
Are these, World War Z zombies?
They're more like World War Z zombies.
Oh, I didn't see that.
No.
I read the book.
The book is good.
Yeah, the book's good.
I don't care for Brad.
Do you remember
Pitt
the part of the book where they had people in the Arctic North chipping zombies out of the ice?
Yeah.
I thought that was a great idea.
That was Canada.
Was it Canada?
Right.
It wasn't even that
part of Canada's in the Arctic.
I thought it was south.
It was just where it gets cold because then zombies freeze.
This is why there's only one president at a time. We just argue way too much.
Gentlemen, we need to split up our groups. Everyone else is busy in other parts of the world trying to stop this from spreading. We need to contain...
Why isn't Kennedy on this? He always gets things done.
He is a little busy in the boudoir.
Of course he is.
He's getting it.
He asked us to bring back Marilyn.
And every other woman he slept with, so that could have been thousands.
There's an entire floor of women for Kennedy.
Which is disgusting.
It's a terrible floor. I've never been down to sub-basement 18.
But we need a battalion to contain the hospital, and then we need a group to figure out what caused this pathogen.
Well, obviously, being the smart one here, I'll take head of the lab group.
I'll establish a border like I did the border that is currently our land border from Mexico.
So
I'm sorry, I have vapors sometimes.
So you're going to fight zombies rather than figure out what's going on?
I'm just going to keep them contained to the hospital area. But if they want to emigrate out of the hospital area, I'll make sure that they have full human rights.
I'm pretty sure that I could do one of two very useful things. One, I could create an underground tunnel. That would assist in the
Do you hear that?
Exiting. Yes, that sounded like the cackling of a zombie.
Maybe this isn't just pathogenetically based.
Pathogens can be passed by air, too, you know.
Hold on. Rutherford was talking.
Sorry.
I was just going to say that I'm a tough son of a bitch. And I could probably withstand a lot of damage.
We'll probably need that.
You know what I'm going to do.
You're
going to cut a bitch.
I'm just
going to
fight until I fall down.
I don't approve of that term, but I agree with the sentiment.
I'm from a different time. I'm sorry.
All right, gentlemen.
Bitch meant a different thing back in 1812.
It meant a British person.
Pierce and I will be trying to figure out what's going on. No, not Pierce and I. I'm sorry. I'm
making a Madison. Border.
You're making a border. You guys are fighting.
Yeah, Ulysses Madison. And I could go back to back and just take out motherfuckers from that here to
Dwight, are you with me in the lab?
Yes.
It's where the excitement is.
We'll find out. We have our orders, gentlemen.
One, two, three.
Presidents.
That's something we need to bring up at the next meeting. We cut to the two different... It's a split screen. Madison and Eisenhower are walking towards the hospital that has the pathogens, whereas the remaining three are just setting up a barricade to make sure that no one gets past Main Street USA if they're a zombie.
Gentlemen, I have officially built several tunnels. They're branching, and they are very distracting. If anybody who doesn't have a functioning frontal cortex tried to go down there and navigate them.
Excellent, Rutherford. I must confess something.
Please do.
I'm secretly hoping this outbreak happens and gets bigger and bigger. Because if there's one thing I'm good at, it's fighting. It's causing fights. And there's nothing I'd like more than to just cut off the head of Mickey Mouse the zombie and just...
U.S. Come on now. This is our country that we're talking about. We can't be overrun by goddamn commie zombies.
Rutherford, I'm a better fighter than I ever was a president.
Gentlemen, there appears to be zombies approaching.
Oh, there sure does. I'll tell you what. I'm going to go let them gnaw on me. You kill them.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty good at just, you know, being a meat shield.
Oh, look at that one.
We see Rutherford just walk very deliberately and slowly into the mass of zombies.
And they keep biting into him, but none of their teeth break his flesh.
That's
some
right.
Of their teeth
try,
crack
motherfuckers.
On his flesh.
Try.
They just are kind of locked there, and they're just stuck there, and they
That's
can't
right.
do anything.
All you're stuck to my skin now. Watch me flex.
We see the zombies explode off of him as he flexes.
Most of them, if they were biting down on a bicep or tricep or like his calf or anything, when he flexed, their jaw split in half. And their brains dissipate.
The ones that don't have their brains dissipated are just clamped onto the more bony areas of his body. And as Rutherford walks through the mass of zombies, he's dragging them along with them.
U.S., I got these teed up for you. Take some pot shots.
Right, give me my, I'll get my rifle out.
He has like a laser rifle with a big scope.
We see him line up the shot and very quickly, in succession, take 8 shots and take down 8 different zombies.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Nice shooting.
Hold on, I need some steadying alcohol.
Good, 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 good. I'll have some of that.
Take it, Pierce. Now it's time to even the numbers.
I'm going out there with knives.
We cut back to Madison and Eisenhower.
Where are we going exactly?
To the dangerous pathogen wing.
Why didn't we bring any of the fighters along with us?
Do you not know who I am?
Why, yes, I know you're a general, but you're...
I'm the Supreme Allied Commander.
That means that you sat behind a desk for most... I know what Washington did.
After I fought in the frickin' war. All right, I know what I'm doing.
You know what, Eisenhower? I'm not impressed.
Oh, you know what? Shut up. We just need to do this, okay?
So you're going to protect me? I have no combat training.
I have my 1911 pistol right here, okay?
Have you ever seen Night of the Living Dead? There's a lot of zombies. One pistol is not going to save us.
Yeah, but I have the...
Supreme Allied Commander.
Yes.
Come in. Supreme Allied... Can I just call you SAC for short?
You could just call me Ike.
SAC, just wanting to report... We have killed many a zombie out here. How is your sack doing?
See? We should have brought one of them with us. They're more effective.
We haven't encountered a zombie yet. We're fine. We are still searching for the wing. I think we found it. There's a room that is literally just blood. It looks like there's only blood there, and there has never been anything else aside from a wastebasket.
Can I talk to
paper.
Madison?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I don't even know I ate that today.
Here's the radio.
Madison.
Yes?
You need to keep your shit together, son.
Rutherford, yes. I think I drank too much before we came here. I don't feel good.
Madison, you need to keep that sack moving. If you don't keep that sack moving, there's no chance that you guys are going to get to the destination point.
Rutherford, you can call me Ike.
He wants you to call him Ike, Rutherford. He wants you to call him Ike.
Why would I do that?
Because everyone else did, and I thought it meant we would be friends.
Okay, Rutherford, I will do my best to keep his sack safe.
You told me earlier in this episode how much you liked me calling you Supreme Commander.
He can't hear. I have the radio. You want me to give the radio back to him?
No, no, that's fine. That's fine. Just relay that if you need to.
He told me that Rutherford, you recently mentioned how much you liked being called Supreme Allied Commander.
It makes me feel good, but I would prefer that my friends call me my name.
He says
while they're talking, we see that the blood-covered room had a giant bed in it, and a figure is rising from under the blood-soaked sheets.
Rutherford, he says that he's your friend, and that he wants his friends to call it.
Turn around. Look at the thing.
Oh, God.
The thing looks like some sort of like queen of the zombies. Just like it's an ultra zombie.
Do you know who I am?
Patient Zero.
Do you know my name?
I frankly don't care, ma'am.
My name is Jenny McCarthy. The Jenny McCarthy? You remember why I was so against vaccinations? Because vaccinations make you immune to zombies.
Wait, oh my God. Are you related to Joseph McCarthy?
No.
Okay.
I'm the celebrity who's against She's a very popular anti-vaxxer. She doesn't want people to take vaccinations. Like children.
Oh.
For diseases like polio. You know what FDR had? Polio?
He had polio. He used it to get stronger. Anyway, Ms. McCarthy, I'm going to have to ask you to stop making zombies.
It's too late. The zombies are already made and they're spreading. Spreading like glorious, glorious disease. Rutherford, are you getting any of this?
Yeah. Yes, I've picked up all of that. It sounds like...
Rutherford, that's too many!
Oh, God damn it. We're not going to be able to come in and back you up. You are on your own. Repeat, you are on your own.
God damn it.
Okay.
And now, with two presidents under my thrall, I'll have two zombie generals, one of whom is the sack.
Really? Is that a thing? This is a thing now.
It's an abbreviation.
Well, I already asked you to stop politely, and you didn't, so I don't feel unjustified in grabbing my gun and shooting you in the head.
See, now I'm glad you brought that gun.
I told you.
Oh my! A tendril shoots out from Jenny McCarthy's arm and wraps itself. It grabs the face of Dwight Eisenhower. Madison goes and grabs the gun from Dwight. No, I'll take her. I've got her. I've used guns before.
How bull?
I could just shoot her. I'll shoot her right now. I shot her once.
More walk.
We see that out of the bullet hole shoots all of the vaccines that she never wanted in her body. But no blood, just vaccines.
We cut back to the barricade. To the other three presidents fighting.
Honestly, this is exactly how I hoped I would go out.
Honestly, I love this day.
They're coming too fast. I've pierced all of them that I can. Franklin pierced them. But they're overrunning us.
Nice.
They're going to breach the border soon. And when they do, I think they should have equal rights.
So you're just all amnesty. Well, I say there has to be reconstruction. We need to have a post-human society.
While this argument is going on, we pan over to the wall of their barricade and we see a couple of hands coming over the top of the wall. And a head. And a head. And another head. And a head and hands. And now the zombies are just clamoring all over the wall.
Gentlemen, they are clearly not unionized. And so therefore, I don't believe that they have any sovereignty to deal with us right now. And we should kill them all.
If you kill any of these zombies on this side of that border, I will be...
A zombie jumps down off the wall and tackles Franklin Pierce.
Pierce, you've left me no choice, zombie. Club with rifle.
The flask that Pierce was using has spilled, and all this over 100 proof alcohol is just spilling on this mass of zombies.
No, and, don't get him drunk. That's for us.
And Rutherford B. Hayes slowly and casually takes out a Zippo lighter from his inside of his jacket, snaps it open, lights it on his teeth, and looks over at Grant and says, "Looks like you're not going to be drinking for the rest of today." And throws the lighter.
In slow motion, we see the lighter fly through the air, flipping over and over. It hits a zombie in the face and almost goes out. We cut back to Rutherford Hayes, who's very surprised, and then cut back to the lighter as it falls down, still barely going, into the puddle of alcohol.
Pierce and Grant jump back from the flames just in time to not be ignited.
And there's a giant fireball that pops up.
This is the saddest thing I've ever seen. All the fighting and all the booze gone in one fell swoop.
Pierce has tears streaming down his face.
All it wanted was a chance to live on the better side of the border. Look, what's the point in creating such a beautiful country that, of course, people would want to immigrate to if we don't let them have rights once they're here?
I guess you could say that their union is busted.
We cut back to the Jenny McCarthy, the zombie queen.
Huh?
Madison just has the gun right up to the zombie queen's temple. I can shoot now. I can shoot now. I've got her right here.
Let me go.
No,
let me go and I'll make it worth your while.
Wait, no, I want to hear her out.
Okay.
Make it worth our while. How? What could you possibly have to give us?
I'll create a sovereign zombie nation where there are no vaccines and everyone is a zombie under my spell. I'll be the president of that nation.
Just then, Franklin Pierce U.S. Grant and Rutherford B. Hayes come running into the corridor on the opposite side of the room from where the action's taking place.
Hayes! Grant! Pierce! I've got this one!
I
got a gun to her head!
I know, why aren't you pulling the fucking trigger?
Come on, man. I'm going to!
No, but just do it.
But just fucking
if you're gonna talk,
kill her!
Shoot, don't shoot.
Yeah,
I mean,
do not
talk.
Missouri compromise with her. Nullify that.
Madison. No, she's saying some very interesting things.
Don't listen to her. Don't all people have a right to life or undeath? Think about it.
Madison, what is wrong with you?
I think there should be a right. There should be a Bill of Rights for zombies.
I knew you would understand, James. After all, you're
Pierce,
the father of the
Pierce, do you still have some of those knives?
You know Pierce does.
Jenny.
Shunk. Thank you. He did not help me at all when that thing was in my face.
Sorry, Sack. Would you shoot her? Please.
No, please don't.
There comes a time in every nation's
good
life.
God, man.
When
just shoot her.
The rights of a zombie outweigh the rights of the group.
Wait, just take a vaccine. Take the vaccines. They'll make people immune to zombies again. They're spilling out of my body. Let me go. And I swear you'll never see me again.
Just shoot her in the head and take the vaccines. We can do both.
I could have been the writer of a great zombie constitution.
Okay, give me that gun.
Ow.
All the other presidents all shoot Jenny McCarthy at the same time.
You've been pierced.
I was about to write her a beautiful constitution. Something that would ensure the rights of zombies for generations to come. And you had to ruin it. I could have been the father of two constitutions.
Rhetoricians. Fuck them.
Next up, Pat.
And that's our show. Thank you to the Hall of Presidents. Thank you to
Will,
Jeff,
Mike.
You can see the Hall of Presidents coming up
in May and June at Huge Wednesdays. On Wednesdays at Huge Theater.
And that's Huge Theater in Uptown Minneapolis. That's 8 p.m. And they'll be on with three other groups on Huge Wednesdays. It'll cost $7 in advance. $7 at the door.
It's $5 in advance.
$5 in advance.
Look, it's cheap. That's just the whole point. Yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to say, I pay $5, but I wouldn't pay $7. Sorry.
It's cheaper than a movie, and you get the exact same amount
of entertainment, but it's always more fun. So, yeah, and you can check out more of what's happening over at Huge at hugetheater.com and see what other groups are performing with the Hall of Presidents, as well as what else is happening over at Huge. Philip, what's happening in your improv life?
This month's local music scene guest is Charlie Van Stee of the band Van Stee, and that show is the last Sunday of the month at Bryant Lake Bowl, so that makes that the 26th.
And Will and I are also in that group.
That's right. Yeah. Local music scene is a super fun group to watch. And the following month you have Courtney McClain. Yeah, that's right. God, we have a lot of stuff to intersperse into this episode. And so for me, I'm just doing a lot of coaching these days. I'll be coaching at the Improv Happy Hour, which is going to be coming up in the next month or so over at the new Phoenix Theater, which is the old Brave New Workshop student union space at 2605 Hennepin Avenue South. So be on the lookout for that show. That's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be featuring the Houlihans, which Philip is a part of also. Let's see, what else am I doing? I'm coaching a group called Party Rumors, and they are just finished up a go-go run, Improv A Go-Go, Sunday nights at Huge Theater, and they're going to have another one coming up in August, so... they're doing some pretty cool stuff, and that's fun.
Keep in touch with Next at Bat on noisepicnic.com, facebook.com/noisepicnic, and send us an email, noisepicnicpodcast@gmail.com.
Check us out on iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, rate and review, use your words, and let us know what you think of us. Tune in next week when we're going to have a brand new group.
Yay, I love that.
Can you form a group for the show?
Yeah. Do you guys want to do a new group?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Bedroom. We're long hair, beard, tall guys.
It's called Blomberg.
Bedroom of Greek Gods.
Oh, okay. I already know enough of that.
And until then, make sure that you always tip your presidents.